Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, and welcome everyone to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast, where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the topic of our podcast today is monkey business, the disappearance of Mo Davies. Mo Davies, Brandy, was a chimpanzee from the west coast of Africa. And Mo, as he was known, was raised by a couple like a son, like a, you know, like a real child, Brandy.
Well, and these people aren't weird at all.
After a series of somewhat tragic events, Mo disappeared, leaving the couple heartbroken. So we're gonna talk about Mo today. It's sort of like a, what is the
it's a cautionary tale, Timmy.
It really, really is, Brandy. You got the we'll get into it.
I feel like it's a cautionary tale for you wanting to replace us with monkeys.
Well, yeah.
He's not a talking monkey. If they were talking monkeys, I would consider it.
Ain't neither of us yet to throw our feces at you, Timmy.
Well,
yet.
The show's not over yet. But we want to thank Roseanne Fenton from, the lovely Roseanne Fenton from, of course, They Walk Among Us for suggesting a story. She's always looking out for interesting stories, Brandy, for us to share. So, thank you, Roseanne. And before I introduce my panel, I would like to remind everyone that sometimes we use foul language. We don't mean to.
Just once in a while. Just once in a while. And if you can't handle that, just get the fuck out of here.
We try not to.
Don't let the door hit you in your ass. That's what I say.
We try, Brandy, to be professional, but sometimes...
No, we don't. We don't even give up. We don't even have a premise of professionalism up in here.
Sometimes.
I do.
I know, but we have Brandy.
Me and you, Timmy, but we got...
Clearly. Clearly, Chuck is the epitome of professionalism.
I'm the modicum of professionalism.
He truly is.
Timmy wants a modicum and a top hat.
I would like that.
Mr. Peanut.
Oh, you guys are starting already. I'm trying to bring this story of Mo the monkey and deliver it in a very serious and professional manner. And already you're starting in on me.
We were concerned, Timmy. Now you were 5 minutes late answering the call. We both assumed that your cat was eating you and you was dead.
That's true.
Well, I don't know why you would assume that.
We were preparing to like get your ashes and go to the West Coast and scatter them.
So you were ready to replace me on the podcast after 5 minutes. Meanwhile, the Colonel here is late podcast that we.
I was the first one here. I was sending messages. Where everybody at? I'm ready. I got my script. I'm ready to go.
This time.
Yes. This time. That's the key.
What have you done for me lately? That's really what the rule is around here, Timmy.
Exactly. And you haven't done much, has you, Brandy?
I don't know.
This is where I redeem myself, Timmy.
Well, let me start. Let me introduce our panel, because I really want to introduce a lady who is known, who's very lovely and is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. I'm talking about, of course, Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. I'm all right. I'm hungry.
Well, let's be.
Hey, honest,
don't hold anything back, Brandon.
We don't want to violate no HIPAA stuff, but we believe that she might have a horrid STD up in there.
We believe that you. There's rumors, Brandy, that you are with child.
Oh, with child, yes.
No rumors of that. No. Well,
we started him earlier, so I know that there's rumors. Did.
I know. They were running rampant through work, and I don't care about that. But.
I saw it on Facebook. I tweeted
it. Well, it's on Facebook.
Did you tweet it? Yeah.
I saw it on Facebook. Instagram. It must be true. Then it must be true. It might be. But no, I'm.
You know
what's
not what's on YouTube is this podcast. We're not on YouTube.
I wonder why. Oh, that's right. Chuck was supposed to take care of that.
So you're hungry. You're
hungry and
having morning sickness.
No, yeah. No, none of those things. And I either pulled a muscle in my back or have a kidney infection. Or
you're pregnant.
But you didn't go to the doctor today, though, did you?
No, I did not go to the doctor.
Why does nobody ever listen to me?
Really, fucker? Really? Really?
Look, I'm just looking out for your health. That's all.
Yeah, he kind of knows about illness because people around him die.
That's true.
I can
they
see it.
Like flies.
I got people in my family like, oh, just a little stiff neck. You know, next thing I know, I'm making arrangements and shit. Go to the goddamn doctor.
Next thing he knows, he's getting a tattoo. Memorial.
Yeah, I'm getting another tattoo.
I'm going to the doctor. I'm going to the doctor Tuesday.
And you're going to have some parts removed, I understand.
I am not. But thank you. There's no removal.
You getting some kind of soul injection? What they got going there?
It's just repair. Then I'm having a hernia repaired. I'm very excited.
You need one of those belts when you're lifting heavy shit, devil.
Oh, dude. I think it's stress.
A stress hernia?
I think it is. I think it is stress. I think it's because I hold in all my anger.
No, you don't, devil. You don't.
You know, you're the last person I would think would have that problem.
But here's the thing. What if I do?
That's true.
That is very scary. So you're having this procedure done. We're going to call it a procedure, not an operation, because operations are scary. And as you know, people die from them. So yeah, you're having this procedure.
I am.
With air quotes.
Yeah. On what, Tuesday?
On Tuesday.
Are you accepting cash? Because I know many of our listeners would love to send you cash as a kind of a gesture.
I will always.
Well.
Cash. Yeah. I'll always accept.
Charles and I are going to provide you with thoughts and prayers. I'm the thoughts. And
I'm the prayers.
Because he's a licensed reverend.
Yes.
They're going to be good prayers too, Devil. Good.
But others might want to give cash, Brandy.
Yeah.
I will accept cash. I will accept cash because when I'm done, I'm going to fucking eat something.
You know,
Do you have to fast?
I do.
She's been eating yogurt for like a week. She cranky in hell. Timmy, you ain't been around her?
No, yeah. I've been avoiding her.
Smartly, he stayed downstairs.
Yeah, she stabbed me in the forearm with a paperclip today.
I'm sorry, Colonel. Have you noticed how he intrudes on brandy time?
Well, we're 10 minutes into this and we're still brandy time.
I don't know if you noticed that, Brandy.
There's really no such thing as brandy time. It's all about Chuck stealing the spotlight, much like a feces stealing, face ripping monkey.
That's what Chuck does.
Yes, that's what Chuck does.
So Brandy, before we move on to you know who. Are there any other important things going on in your life this week besides, you know, this operation?
That's kind of the big thing. That's the best you got. That is the event that my week is revolving around.
Do you get any medication, i.e. drugs?
I don't know. I will have to. Well, I mean, I'll have the really sweet anesthesia.
Sure. But do you get painkillers? Because I would be happy to safely destroy any extra bills that you might have.
Oh, sweet. I don't, you know, I don't know. I imagine I will get something.
Yeah, okay. Just remember who writes the scripts and who writes your parts on this podcast when you're dispensing a medicine.
I will. I'll remember.
Let me introduce Brandy, a man who really needs no introduction.
Because he yaps.
a man who is known as the moral compass of this podcast, a man who has been described as an oasis in the desert of despair.
Bullshit.
Someone referred to me as the Yoda of podcasting to me. The Yoda. Somebody on the page. I'm not really sure.
You're on the Facebook page.
I think it was the Yodler or something. It wasn't Yoda. I think you misunderstood.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm not good.
What's wrong, Colonel?
Well, there's a number of things that are troubling me right now.
Tim. One, Brandy, be a little nice to him. One of his good friends has an operation coming up.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It is 7 o'clock on a Friday night, and the three of us fuckers are together, and Renee's hungry. So, you know what? Your issues, let's keep them short and sweet, or you're going to have one more issue there, Chuckles.
Well, okay, back when I was younger, Timmy, it's Christmas time.
Oh, Jesus.
Which creates problems for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because back when I was younger, I had a lady friend, Timmy.
A lady friend, Brandy.
When she would get a little frisky, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
She will ring a bell.
He means it when she's feeling sexual, Brandy.
I understand. And if I had anything in my belly, I would have thrown it up in my mouth.
Okay, Colonel. So you have a girl. You had a lady friend who kind of got a little aroused.
When she had a bell. She had a bell. And, you know, the Colonel got a certain set of skills. So, you know, I had to run when I heard the bell.
Right.
Well, much like Pavlov's dog, Timmy, now that it's Christmas time, and I come out of the grocery store, and a lady at the Salvation Army ringing her bell.
She'd start humping her leg.
I
feel like
I start displaying in public.
I don't like being accosted.
Did you?
I don't flash. It's just, you know, they only make jeans so strong, Timmy. But anyway, and my other problem, Timmy,
jeans are so tight.
They are.
You know, I think we really should use chemical weapons against the Salvation Army. I mean, after all, they're an army.
Tear gas. Mm-hmm.
They are an army.
I don't like them ISIS. Me outside of Kroger.
They are
I don't
like ISIS. They are like ISIS.
They're like ISIS.
Get my fucking money.
You know what ISIS don't do, Timmy?
What's that?
ISIS honey? Don't put some old lady outside my house ringing a goddamn bell saying, give me a dollar.
That's true. They don't, Brandy. You have to agree with him there.
They weren't outside your house. They were outside the grocery.
Well, I go to the grocery a lot. My other thing, Timmy, is what I wanted for Christmas was a monkey. And now, after reading this story, I got to find another gift.
Well, I don't know. It's a cautionary tale, Colonel.
I'm thinking about getting a boa constrictor now.
How about a rhinoceros?
Yeah.
A rhinoceros would be good,
but I don't want a monkey anymore.
Well, you know, we hear also, you know, you hear of feral children. These are feral animals. This is about raising a wild animal as a human, right?
Yeah, well, don't do that.
Yeah, and I believe the word's feral.
Well, what?
Feral.
I don't know what feral. I don't know what feral is unless you unfurl a flap.
That's how we say it in.
Is it
Appalachia? Yeah.
Is it
Brandy? But this reminds me, Brandy. We have a secret word. The secret word.
Oh, I know.
I'm bringing this up to the audience, so basically to remind you, because on our Facebook page, History Dweebs, the podcast, and it doesn't cost anything to join, so we encourage you to join.
It doesn't cost anything yet.
We're going to start charging.
Except your integrity and
Your self-esteem and all that. But
yeah,
we've asked a group to come up with a secret word that some point during the podcast is going to be mentioned by the lovely Brandy. And it's a secret word that was submitted by Stephen Potts. So
you know what about you know something about Stephen Potts?
What's that?
Now you know each of us all do other podcasts, right? On the other one that I do, for somehow Stephen Potts' names come up every episode.
Okay,
every episode Stephen Potts comes up. I believe that he works his way into podcasts like this, Timmy. It's a nefarious plan that he's got.
I see. What do you think is his motivation?
I'm not really sure, Timmy. He's from Austria, so you can't trust those people.
He's from Austria. Where's that?
Austria, Timmy.
Austria. And I'm the one that you make fun of. Okay.
Where they have feral children.
Okay, so no, we do thank Stephen for submitting the secret word, and at some point it won't be a secret anymore because Brandy will say it.
How come a little bird
will fall down, and there will be confetti, and it'll be a whole thing.
Angel will get its wings.
Yes, exactly. All right, shall we talk about Mo the monkey?
Let's do that, Timmy.
Thank you, and again, thank you to Rosanna from They Walk Among Us for submitting this story, because it's a pretty fucked up story, Brandy. Wouldn't you agree?
I heard, yes. I would agree.
West Covina, Brandy.
Oh, hold on, Tim. I'm going to need about 5 minutes here, Timmy.
He's got a call.
Gross. Doc has a call? That's a bell. He's so nasty.
Hold on. I just need a minute or two, Timmy.
So nasty. He's pleasuring a lady, Brandy.
No, he's placed himself.
I just put myself on mute for 5 minutes, Timmy. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
I wish you would.
For 5 minutes. Well, enjoy yourself, Colonel. West Covina, California, Brandy.
Okay.
A small city about 20 miles east of Los Angeles. You ever know those people from England, Colonel? They pronounce it Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm. That's fucked Los up. Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up, don't you think?
I like people from England as a rule. I don't like people from Canada generally.
I just don't like hearing Los Angeles. It's like vitamins. I really don't like that either.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. How about we not knock other people's pronunciation of words, Timothy?
Yeah,
I feel like we're on dangerous ground.
That's a rule we should live by, Brandy.
Yeah, I think we're on dangerous ground.
Anyway, this West Covina is a community in eastern San Gabriel Mountain Valley.
Brandy, do you feel like we're in a big glass house and we're picking up a big rock and throwing it at somebody?
I feel like he is, yes.
In 2010, it had a population of 100,000 people. Now, Brandy, that is an estimate, maybe one day someone went to the grocery store and they were only 99,999. So bear with
me. And then a bell rang, and then next thing you know, they got 100,000 to me.
Did I hear a bell, Brandy?
Nope.
Did I hear a bell, Colonel?
No, thankfully, I'm still with you.
Okay. In 1960s, the community was much smaller, where our story starts. Our story starts in 1940. It was in this small town that a young lad named St. James Davies was born and raised, Brandy.
I feel like you're setting your kid up for failure when you start him out that way.
Yeah, when you start anybody with Saint.
Yeah,
we know failure. Because, Brandy, you know, it's ridiculous when people give themselves titles or their parents or
that they haven't earned. Exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, that is ridiculous.
Yeah. Saint.
But then Saint James, maybe they named him after maybe they were playing Monopoly when they were having relations, and they had Saint James Place, Brandy. Have you ever thought of that?
Monopoly is known for inciting horniness.
Yes, and fornication.
And fornication. Oh, gross.
What did I hear about? Speaking of horniness to me.
Yeah. Are you now pleasuring someone else?
No, I'm just...
Pleasures himself.
Oh, I see. He's ringing his own bell.
I'm ringing my own bell here, Timmy.
I see.
Ain't nobody know how to ring my bell like I do, Timmy.
Now, this is a very serious story, and I think we should, handle
ourselves. Let's give it the gravity it deserves.
St. James Davies was born in March of 1940. I didn't have a date there, which I should. Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Issue. That would have been helpful.
Yeah, St. James, but I mean, it doesn't matter what date.
I need to know.
St. James was popular even as a child, Brandy.
Yeah.
He was a natural leader. You could say he was a saint. No, St. James loved animals and working on automobiles.
Those things came, hand in hand.
Yes. When it came to being a mechanic, James was a natural. He loved working on his hot rods for hours in his father's garage. Remember that song, Brandy, Hot Rod Hearts? It was out in the 70s.
I remember that one, Timmy.
You remember it, Colonel? Mm-hmm. You see, Colonel, you appreciate music.
Well, I appreciate the classics.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
St. James was a football star, Brandy. And he was the homecoming king.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He was the homecoming king in high school. Colonel, were you the homecoming king in your high school?
I was not, Timmy, but 2 years in a row, I went with the prom queen, two different girls, Timmy.
Nice. You got to be impressed by that, Brandy.
I was a junior 1 year, and I went with the senior. She was the homecoming queen. Next year, she went off to college. I went out with another girl, and she was the homecoming queen. I was never in the court.
He's always a bridesmaid. I was not
eligible, yes. Yeah.
Always a bridesmaid, never the bride. Okay. His homecoming queen that year. You know, I don't think that's it, but that's that song. But I don't
that's
think we're allowed to play
it.
Yeah, I don't think we're allowed to play it.
No, for informational purposes, we can.
Oh, I see. Anyway.
Robbie Dupree's been dead a long time. He don't care.
Oh, my God.
Who sang it? Who sang that song?
Robbie Dupree, Timmy.
Oh, Bobby Dupree.
Looked just like Kenny Loggins. Had the beard, had the feathered hair, everything else.
What do you think about that, Brandy? Did you have the hots for Kenny Loggins?
I did not have the hots for Kenny Loggins.
Oh, come on. You know, when they went into the danger zone, don't take me to the danger zone.
Yeah, Brandy.
No.
What about the guy who sang the you know, same old Long Lang Sigh? What was his name?
Oh, yeah. He dead, too. He had prostate cancer.
Dan Fogelberg?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Brandy pulled that one out. Fuck you both. Come on now.
I knew he had prostate cancer.
Did you have the hots for him, Brandy, before the prostate cancer?
Nope,
prostate
I did not.
Cancer. Okay. All right. He had a lot of hair on his face. He had a lot of hair on his face.
He did. He was a hairy man. He could have been a monkey.
You simmer down.
I'm sorry. It's the only way I can get through this monkey story.
Yeah, it's a really good story. So his homecoming queen, when he was in high school, he was the king, right? So the queen was a young girl by the name of LaDonna McMichael. She was considered one of the most beautiful, popular young ladies in the town in the late 1950s, Brandy. Probably had a big bouffant hairdo and all.
Oh, hell yeah. She had that poofy. You know that poofy hair you had, Devil.
Yeah, you had that 80s hair.
I miss it so much. So much.
I'm betting LaDonna had a beehive, though, because that was the 50s.
Probably.
I wonder if her middle name was Bell.
I don't know. But, you know, it's pretty pretentious names. You got St. James and LaDonna.
Yeah, not just Donna. Could be Donna.
Yeah.
LaDonna.
Yeah, in French, that would be the Donna, Brandy.
The Donna, yeah. Just.
Yeah.
I think
like
it's
four
Spanish.
Paragraphs
okay.
into this motherfucker here.
I know, Jesus.
The couple were a perfect match, Brandy. They were young, they were beautiful, and they were popular.
And no such thing to me.
They both were excellent students, and no one was surprised when, in their senior year, St. James proposed to the young LaDonna. And the Davies wedding appeared to be was going to be the highlight of the West Covina social calendar that year. But as the wedding day fast approached, St. James, Brandy, started having second thoughts. What do you think about that, Brandy?
Well, yeah. Dick.
I think he was cowardly and weak, but he was a wise man to me.
He was a plot waffle, as our friend Sarah Feeney would say.
Yes.
St. James worried that he was throwing his life away, Brandy, by marrying so young. Farm guy. He craved a life of adventure, and getting married and settling down to start a family kind of scared him, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
Pussy.
By the early spring of 1966, everything was in place for their wedding at a small brick church in town, but St. James never showed up.
Instead, what an ass.
Instead, he spent the afternoon under the hood of one of his father's cars while LaDonna was left alone at the church
for all of her friends and family. That's a dangerous game you're playing right there.
See, that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of a dick move. I agree.
Yeah, it is a dick move.
The following
we haven't heard his real side.
Right, right. So, I mean, he was getting cold feet. That's natural, yeah. Brandy.
Yeah, but you know what? Be a man and tell her. Don't wait till she's standing up there waiting on you and then just don't show.
Or at least leave town, for Christ's sake.
An ass. Yeah.
The following week was the worst of St. James's life.
Well, I would think so. Aww.
The story of the jilted bride became the talk of the neighborhood. The entire town, it seemed, had turned against him. St. James needed to get out of his small town. It was around this time that St. James noticed an ad in his local paper. The ad was seeking deckhands to work on a merchant ship for an around-the-world voyage, all expenses paid. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Deckhands.
All-inclusive. All-inclusive, Timmy.
It was. It was all-inclusive.
I think so.
St. James had never been on a boat, Brandy, but he didn't care. The job offered adventure, and most of all, it offered him a way to get out of town and get away from, you know, who?
Her brothers.
LaDonna.
Brothers have been kicking his ass every day. Yeah.
Well, you have a comment, Brandy?
He should get out of town. That was a fucked up.
Oh, he should have got out. He should have got out of town the day before.
St. James wanted far away from his judgmental family and friends.
I don't know that they were judgmental.
Well, look, Colonel, he was overhauling his transmission, you know.
Well, he got priorities, Timmy. Priorities.
Exactly. Anyway, so he wants to get out of town because he's part of this, you know, he's part of the rumor mill because he dumped LaDonna LaDonna at the altar. LaDonna, of course, was very deeply hurt and embarrassed. So, having just turned, 24, St. James Davies reported to his new home on the SS Pathfinder, that's a ship, for a trip around the world. Now, although he missed his parents and work, and the work was hard, St. James enjoyed his new job on the merchant ship. He was great with his hands, Brandy. Have you ever met anyone great with their hands?
Oh, I believe in high school, the devil had a reputation for being a little bit dexterous.
No, that's not true at all. I met a man with great hands and I married him. I'm not stupid.
Oh, there you go.
So St. James also had great hands, and he was good at his job, even though he never worked on a ship before. And even though he missed his family and he missed LaDonna, he felt he made the right decision. All right, so St. James is seeing the world, Brandy. He's off on his great adventure. Right. Now, what happened over the next several months would alter the course of St. James's and, as it turned out, LaDonna's lives forever. The ship that he was on suffered some damage off the coast of Africa, Brandy. Colonel, have you ever been to Tunisia?
Tanzania. It's Tanzania.
Yeah, or Tunisia. Have you ever been to either one, Colonel?
I've been there. Yeah, I've been there, Timmy.
And what's your overall assessment of where does it, Brandy? Tunisia?
It's hot and too many months.
Tanzania.
What's your thoughts on Tanzania, Colonel?
Tanzania, Timmy. It's Tanzania.
That's where the Tanzania devil is, I believe. What's your thoughts on...
It's still Tanzania.
Tanzania, Colonel.
Well, I wouldn't go back, Timmy. Actually, I'm not allowed to go back. So that's where I won't go back.
All right. So there were some... the ship suffered some damage. He's forced in Tanzania. Days later, while following a group of Tanzanians, Brandy, you know, it's fun. Isn't it a coincidence that you're in Tanzania and you run into some Tanzanians?
Well, that's insane. Build the wall, Timmy. Build the wall. Keep those Tanzanians out of Tanzania.
But he befriended, Brandy, some Tanzanias while he was in Tanzania.
Whatever. Uh-huh.
And on a hunt. He was on a hunt, Brandy.
Yes.
When he witnessed a band of poachers.
Poachers? He approached some poachers.
Yeah.
He broached the poachers.
Who was slaughtering a female chimpanzees, Brandy.
Fuckers.
A female what?
Chimpanzee. After she just gave birth.
That's not what he said.
After she just gave birth, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a dick move. See, people like that need to.
Well, you know, it's never a good idea mess with a woman, any type of female, after she's given birth, Colonel.
Never, Tim.
See,
well,
this is
a rule.
Those are the kind of people that need to be hunted.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. Yeah,
like some Hunger Games kind of shit that they broadcast. That's those people.
Yeah. Now St. James was not, you know, he was not part of this slaughter. He just witnessed it. He returned the next day and he found a helpless newborn chimp alive, and he began to care for him, Brandy. So that was pretty responsible of
young
St. James.
Yes.
Yes. St. James jumped ship, and for a period of several weeks and perhaps months, he provided for the animal, foraging for food, nurturing him with fruits, bird eggs, and rainwater as he searched for a way home. And St. James, in all this, you know, caring for the chimp, he forgot to take care of himself, and he lost a lot of weight. And but his main concern was caring for this chimpanzee, Brandy. Your thoughts on that, if any?
I have no thoughts.
Fuck that monkey. I'm going to save the berries for myself.
Well, the chimp...
monkey can find his own food.
The chimp...
Shock the monkey.
The chimp's fingernails... and, you know, the chimps, I mean, let's face it. They're not the most hygienic creatures ever.
No, they're not.
Thought of a chimp having fingernails, but I guess so.
Yeah,
oh, they got some claws on them. They can open cans with those sumbitches.
Well, and this chimp, you know, scratched St. James a lot and left him riddled with sores, Brandy.
They can give you rabies like that, Jimmy.
Now, his ordeal finally ended when a tall villager. Now, you notice how I described the villager, Brandy? I didn't just say any villager.
Oh, you painted a picture for us, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel. Called the chimp Magumbo. I think that's right. And he took St. James to some German missionaries who were also there in Tanzania, who eventually secured a flight bound for Los Angeles.
Hold on. Snoop's on.
Huh?
It's nothing. Friday night, for Christ's sake. Give me a break.
Okay, he's hitting his bone. So right. These German missionaries somehow, and remember, this is back in the, you know,
this
60s.
Is for, just so our listeners know, just strictly for medicinal purposes.
I of course. Yeah, he has glaucoma. He does. So these German missionaries, anyway, are able to get a flight home.
Right, they got him home.
For St. James and... the monkey, who now is going by the name of Mo the monkey. Mo sat on St. James's lap on the plane. I don't think you get by with that today.
You can't if it's an emotional support monkey.
Oh, that's the key. Maybe they told him that. Okay.
Yeah. How'd you like to be the poor sumbitch sitting next to a monkey?
I would not.
I mean, people talk about sitting next to crying babies and people that, you know,
rude,
the hygiene ain't good, talk too much. You got to sit next to a goddamn monkey on a flight. They ought to give you a coupon for that.
Yeah, because they throw poo.
They do. But, you know, they don't throw the poo backwards. You always want to be behind the monkey, Timmy.
Behind the monkey, Brandy, that's where you should always be.
Behind the monkey.
Mm-hmm.
By the time St. James stepped off the plane, Brandy, into the warm air outside Los Angeles International Airport, he was a changed man. His imposing frame had wasted away. His cheeks were hollow, Gaping sores covered his face and neck. In his arms, there were no luggage. All he had in the whole world, Brandy, was a baby chimpanzee he named Mo.
So let me get this straight. So this guy steps off the plane, covered in sores. This skinny, scabbed over son of a bitch with a monkey.
Yeah.
And they steps out in LAX.
With this monkey.
What do you do with that?
With Mo.
Mo.
Well, I'm going to tell
you. Well, yeah, that's what I said. Holding this fucking monkey. Like, what the hell do you do with that? Hey, how are you?
Meet my monkey.
Yeah.
Touch my monkey.
Well, you want, that's kind of what he
you
did.
Want to pet my monkey.
Love what you've done with yourself. Looks
love
good.
Love my monkey.
You ask people, you ask strangers if they would like to touch your monkey.
Of course you do.
Waiting
even
for
if you don't have a monkey.
Waiting for St. James inside the terminal was his mother, Estelle. But guess what, Brandy?
Tell
Madonna
me.
Madonna was there as well.
The fuck is she doing there?
Well,
like, for real.
Seething. She was seething, Brandy.
Well, she should be.
She hadn't seen St. James since the... I wish he just had a regular fucking name. She hadn't seen St. James since the day before he left her at the altar.
And now this skinny, scabby motherfucker with a monkey...
I'm home.
And I really feel like she should think I have dodged a bullet. Like, seriously.
Well, you would think that, but alas, that was not to be. St. James hugged his mother. He and LaDonna locked eyes, but didn't exchange words right away, Brandy.
Sure.
She was waiting for him to start explaining.
How the fuck you gonna explain leaving a motherfucker at the altar and coming back with a monkey? I wanted to marry you, but I didn't feel like it was right till we had a monkey first.
Well, she had no idea what to make of the tiny monkey.
Who would?
I mean, he probably did just spring that on him. I mean,
I think that's a very wise move on his part. He just didn't show up. He showed up with a monkey. If you're going to leave a woman at the altar, the next time you see her, you better have a fucking monkey.
That's half a fucking monkey.
You better have a monkey or be missing a goddamn limb.
Yeah.
So
both.
Anyway, she's waiting for him to start explaining. She had no idea what to make of the monkey. But St. James and LaDonna left the airport that day, not knowing if they would ever speak again, Brandy.
I bet that was a hell of a ride home.
St. James brought the infant Chip to his mother's home in West Covina. He was tiny. Only about a foot long.
My mom wouldn't even let me bring home a dog.
See, it took. That's what I was going to say. And how do you check to see if your house is zoned for monkeys?
Well, I mean, he probably did. I mean, this was the 60s, so he probably didn't. You know, there probably wasn't a whole. You know, there probably wasn't a lot of regulation around monkeys. He was tiny. He was only a foot long, and more playful than any rambunctious child, Brandy. And then there was those big brown eyes.
As monkeys have.
Estelle fell for him immediately. Now, LaDonna's mother, who happened to be a close friend of Estelle, so that's where, you know, that's how she knew that St. James was coming home. I guess they didn't know about the monkey until he got here.
Because there's, you know what, 27 people in this town? Of course they're good friends.
Anyway, Estelle was her close friend, and she started coming over a lot, and she was just captivated by Mo the monkey.
It's a fucking monkey.
Now, in time, Estelle started dragging her daughter, LaDonna, started dragging her over to play with the chimp.
No, wait a minute. Is Estelle St. James's mother?
No, Estelle. Oh, yeah. Estelle is St. James's mother, but she's good friends with... LaDonna's mother. Yeah.
Okay.
So LaDonna's mother falls in love with Mo. St. James's mother. So she encourages her daughter, LaDonna, to start come over and see the chimp. Because they're family friends, whatever.
Come over and see the monkey.
So LaDonna started going over to their house playing with the chimp. And just like everyone else, LaDonna soon fell in love with Mo. It wasn't long before LaDonna also fell back in love with St. James. Brandy, your thoughts on that?
That's horseshit.
He loved a monkey. Yeah, everybody love a monkey.
Everybody love
a monkey till the poo hits you right in the forehead.
People, those fucking monkey owners, they get laid like nobody's business.
Oh yeah, you think it's walking a puppy through the park
monkey.
You
laid?
You walk a little chimp through the park, you got the ladies just throwing their draws at you, Timmy.
Yeah, man, panty droppers, Brandy.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I said
nothing like a chimpanzee to get you laid. Anyway. Well, Brandy, they fell in love, and the wedding was back on. Only it was about 10 years later. The wedding on June the 6th. What happened on June 6th, Colonel?
It was D-Day, Timmy.
It was. D-Day. This was 1970, so that had already happened. It was a modest affair. 26 years
after.
Well, yeah, because they're not shelling out any more money for this fucking wedding. They already did that once. Fuck that noise. You sons of bitches go to the courthouse.
Do you think they got gifts again?
No, I don't think they got gifts. And I'm betting people didn't get their deposits back either. Fuck that noise. You bitches go to the courthouse.
What if they had a DJ?
Who knows?
But anyway, I'm telling you,
I'm reading these next couple of sentences, and I don't even know what to do with that.
Okay. So well, the wedding on June the 6th, 1970, was a modest affair held at LaDonna's parents.
Oh. Oh, well, I don't know what happened, and he's cracking himself up.
Colonel, you okay?
I'm reading the script.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me read it so the audience can kind of get it. The wedding was on June the 6th, 1970. It was a modest affair, Brandy, held at LaDonna's parents' house in West Covina.
You're goddamn right, because nobody had got a deposit.
Ain't nobody coming back to that one. Motherfucker, I sweat in that shirt.
Do you think that LaDonna was like, you know, kept looking at the door?
She stayed tied to that motherfucker all day.
She kept a monkey that day.
You'll get your monkey back when you show up for the wedding, motherfucker.
Okay, so the wedding was it was a modest affair. Mo the monkey was St. James's best man.
Of course he was. And you know, and I'm gonna, and before you hit the rest of this, I'm gonna push pause and say nobody finds this odd. This isn't shooting off bells at somebody that, hey, maybe this guy is fucked in the head.
Well, hold on.
Does he not have
grabbed the monkey? She bought into the whole monkey scheme.
The monkey business.
No, look, you can buy into the whole monkey scheme without making the monkey your best fucking man at your wedding.
Well, you know, maybe he wasn't popular.
He lost some friends after the last wedding.
He lost all his fucking friends. Then you know what? You go solo. You don't have the fucking monkey carrying the goddamn rings on his head.
Hey, sometimes the best you can do is a monkey. You know,
traditionally the best man is going to get laid at a wedding. You know,
oh, the bridesmaid for sure. I bet she had no bridesmaids. Nobody wanted that gig.
So Mo is the best man. The 4-year-old chimp. He was 4 years by this time. Well, they had a long engagement. Apparently, St. James has commitment problems, Brandy. Commitment issues.
Committed to this fucking chimp. I mean, all in on the chimp.
So Mo, the 4-year-old chimp, was dressed in a tight-fitting black tuxedo.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he looked like John Travolta on Saturday Night Live. That's what I'm putting out there as an image.
He walked down the aisle holding hands with the flower girl as she tossed rose petals on the floor.
Hold on, wait a minute. First of all, does nobody see that this might be dangerous for her?
When Mo decides to just start tossing pieces of the flower girl up on the aisle,
you have to admit it's adorable if you pull it off.
I mean, if you can pull it off.
It's like shooting fireworks out of your ass. I mean, if you do it, it's cool. And when it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's a fail if it doesn't work. If he attacks the flower girl.
Yeah, that nothing ruins a wedding like a mango flower girl.
It really is a downer, huh?
What if he starts beating people with the flower girl? Like that, I feel like it's a problem. I don't know why these people don't see this as maybe. I mean, did they like deflee this fucking monkey before he called it? Seriously, this is.
Well, this is 1970. You know, people were different about monkeys back then. They were more casual.
That's when you had the Every Which Way But Loose movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Monkeys were more socially acceptable back then.
They were, Brandy. There wasn't a strong prejudice against monkeys like they are today.
There was not so much monkey bias. Institutional monkey bias, Timmy.
Yes. And obviously, Brandy, you
think he got profiled?
Demonstrating some of that bias. And as
you are, devil. You're demonstrating all kinds of monkey bias over there.
Wait a minute. You think he got profiled?
I think he was profiled. No, I think you're profiling now. I think you are.
Oh, wait a minute. I am, but as you read the next little paragraph there, make sure you know that I'm right. But go ahead.
At the reception, Mo scampered from table to table, stealing sips of champagne, Brandy.
You know, Mo sounds like Logan when I used to take him to weddings when he was a kid.
I'm sure Logan will appreciate that comparison. When one of the guests, a friend of LaDonna's mother, began sharing her glass with him, the chimp clung to her for the rest of the night. I thought he was going to get laid.
Probably.
Mo got drunk and pissed all over her pale yellow dress.
It was actually a white cream color, but it was pale yellow.
So here's the thing. First of all, if you think it's a good idea to get a monkey drunk, I think that you kind of get what you deserve.
You think she was upset? I mean, you know, that was probably expensive dress.
You know what else I can say? I'm pretty sure this happened to Dave's best man in our wedding. So
everyone in the room thought it was about the funniest thing they had ever seen. This woman sitting there.
I'm in on that.
Well, it was a pale yellow dress. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, probably it ain't going to show up that much.
It
was a fucking drunk monkey, dude.
Pissing on her dress.
Pissing on her dress. All right, go ahead.
But, you know, at least. I mean, you got to if you don't give St. James any credit at all for anything, you got to give him credit for knowing how to, you know, entertain at weddings because motherfucker, everyone's talking about his wedding, the time he didn't show up, the time the monkey pissed on the woman's dress.
I mean, there's a lot. St. James can throw a wedding.
He can. So the couple had talked about having a large family, Brandy, maybe as many as 5 children.
But they have the monkey.
They do have the monkey. Now, LaDonna had gone to her OBGYN appointment, and St. James was sitting in the waiting room with LaDonna's mother when a doctor approached them.
LaDonna's mother needs to fucking stay her ass at home. She's paid to this shit.
Here's what I'm wanting to know, Devin.
She's helping us see the monkey.
Here's what I want to know.
I have taken my mother to an OBGYN appointment as a fucking adult.
I'm sorry. You know what? I got my stethoscope here covered. You can stay home.
Is Noah 8 right now? He's 8, right?
No, he's 7.
7? Okay. Imagine your house with Noah and a monkey.
No, what the fuck?
The monkey could play Grand Theft Auto with Noah.
Yeah.
It could be on the Xbox.
I mean, that would be a $1 million YouTube thing.
Chuck, I'm thinking, Chuck, are you thinking what I am?
Christmas I would just
present for Noah.
Yeah. A monkey.
Let's go in and buy Noah. Let's get a GoFundMe thing going for Noah and buy him a monkey.
Well, why don't you do it? You know, $20 a piece. I'm sure you guys can find one.
We'll buy him one.
All right. We'll buy him one if you raise him.
All right. Yeah. I'm on it. I'm on it.
You can't get those spider monkeys, though.
If you can teach him to talk, I can use him on the podcast.
Well, and here's the other thing. So I've already got two kids that I fucked up. Let's bring in the animal kid.
Bring in a monkey.
Yeah, let's add
what
a monkey.
What could go wrong? Well, oh, apparently this couple did things. Anyway, back to St. James.
The bottom line is half the town.
Yes, bottom line is LaDonna had cancer, needed a hysterectomy. And it is sad because that's why the doctor had the solemn expression, because the couple would no longer be able to have children. They wanted to have five children because,
five children and a monkey.
St. James, he's anxious to get married and settle down and have a big family.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it would have been like the Waltons with the monkey.
Well, the Waltons would have lasted a lot longer if they had a fucking monkey on there.
Somebody chop up that wood. You teach him. Well, that's what you need. A chimpanzee with a hatchet.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what. If you had a monkey during the Depression, it might not have made it. You know, you may have had to eat the monkey.
Well, I guess I stood in the soup line, would you?
Brandy, at first, LaDonna was overcome with guilt and began talking about getting a divorce. But St. James told her would have none of it, Brandy.
Oh, yeah. Now motherfucker's all in.
He loved her. And besides, they had Mo. So,
yeah, let's talk about that.
Mo the monkey. So tell us what happens next, Brandy.
Now, and again, I don't know why fucking bells and whistles and shit aren't going off, but St. James assured his bride that he loved her no matter what. And besides, they already had
a stand-up kind of guy.
Oh, clearly. Besides, they already had a child. They had Mo. Really? So from that point on, the young couple raised Mo, the monkey, now referred to as Mo Davies. They went and had his birth certificate changed. They raised him as their only child. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Well, does his aunt have no kids?
Well, right. does his aunt the giraffe come over every once in a while to babysit? I mean, fucking seriously, nobody.
Yeah, seriously though, when you want to go to the movies, who do you get to babysit your goddamn monkey?
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Because I ain't doing it.
And you're not taking a monkey to the movies unless it's a drive-in.
No.
They went through a lot of bananas, I bet. Go ahead, Brandy. Oh,
at least. So over, these people are so fucked in the fucking head. Over the next 3 decades.
Yeah, okay. 30 years, Brandy.
Yes, I know. The Davies lived what they considered a near perfect life. They brought Mo with them everywhere. I don't want to take my fucking ass kid every fucking where. Why the fuck would I want to take a fucking monkey everywhere?
Where are they going to leave him? It's hard to get a babysitter for a monkey.
Well, first of all, they went to shopping malls. They went to restaurants. What fucking restaurant is letting the goddamn monkey sit there at the fucking table?
Come on. You've been to Denny's at 2:30 in the morning, right? Drunken crowd, you'd rather have chimpanzees in there.
Here's the thing. You wouldn't notice at Denny's at 2:30 in the morning if there was a fucking monkey there. But if you're trying to go to the fucking precinct at, you know, dinner time and eat, people might notice that there's a fucking...
Do you really think they notice if they're shopping at Walmart? I mean, think it would raise
if
an eyebrow?
If you dress him up, right?
Wait a minute. They even took weekend trips to the beach.
Yeah, well, I bet he liked the beach.
Here we go. Because that's not fucked up enough. The couple...
I wonder what kind of sunscreen.
What did they buy? What did they buy, Brandy?
They bought a 3-seat bike and rode around town with Mo in the middle. They didn't even put that.
What if you're just like visiting? What if you're just like visiting from out of town? You're walking down the street.
Yeah.
You see this couple with a 3-seat bike and they got a fucking monkey. Ding,
ding. Hi, neighbor.
Dressed up as a kid.
Wait a minute. Wait. Here we go. And the chimpanzee who developed a fondness for cheese burritos and coffee.
Well, I mean, really, you can't blame him there, Colonel.
Yeah, I like a burrito. I like a good burrito. Shit.
Mm-hmm. And his meals with the couple at the kitchen table.
Yeah. Okay. He wasn't. At least he wasn't eating in front of the TV.
Yeah.
It's true.
He didn't start smoking. Like the monkey smoke.
Or farting.
Yeah, well, you know he farted after the burrito. But.
Yeah.
Oh, God, why is this happening?
And they got those big long fingers. He'd be like, St. James, pull my finger.
God.
So, in time, as Mo grew, so did his notoriety. Mm-hmm. He's idiot-ass people.
So he's getting a little following, you're saying.
Well, he'd have, you know, thousands of followers on the gram today.
Oh, yeah, you know that motherfucker have a Twitter, it'd be all blown up. Yeah.
The city fathers made Mo an honorary citizen of West Covina.
Could he vote? Mo a Democrat?
Did he get a key to the city, I wonder?
Mo attended ribbon-cutting ceremonies and fundraisers, once manning a kissing booth at Animals event in Burbank with Doris Day and Lucille Ball.
Okay, Colonel, you got your choice. 1970, Doris Day, Lucille Ball, or Mo the monkey.
I heard Doris Day was just wild and bad to me. Mm-hmm. I heard she was a freak.
Brandy, your choice between those three.
Pick Doris, devil.
Even wrap my head around this bullshit. Everybody.
So he's at a kissing booth.
But the thing is, all of a sudden, this is like a normal thing. So all of a sudden, we're going to kind of, these people are crazy.
Well, you know, people in California are very accepting, Brandy.
Devil, you seem a little reluctant to accept Mo for who he is.
You seem a little, prejudiced against
Mo. You do. You got some monkey anger.
Mo appeared. Hold on. Mo appeared in episodes of Sesame Street, Reading Rainbow, BJ and the Bear. Love that show.
Well, yeah.
I never could figure out why they call it. Where was the bear? There was never a bear on that show.
The bear.
I never saw BJ on the show the whole goddamn time I watched it.
It's disappointing. And he appeared on Bowling for Dollars.
I would love to see a monkey bowling, Brandy. That's fucking entertainment.
Every day.
Well. He had bit parts in movies, including the 1975 comedy Linda Lovelace for President.
Oh, now that's a classic.
That classic.
Now that one had a blowjob in it.
Yeah,
it did.
That one had a BJ in it.
Yeah. I wonder if she went down
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh. Well, I mean... You know, she was known for her oral skills.
Mm-hmm.
And what else would Mo be doing in that movie?
Oh, God.
Maybe he was giving her away at a fucking fake wedding.
All right, continue, Brad.
Mo the fluffer.
Meanwhile, had gained notoriety.
Think they was a fluffer? Is that what you said, girl?
Oh, God.
I think they paid him with cheese burritos, Brandy.
Well, if they were smart, they did.
All right, continue, Brandy. This is silly. Come on, be serious.
So St.
Don't forget about the secret word, by the way.
I'm working on it.
All right, continue.
St. James, meanwhile, gained notoriety of his own. Though he still earned most of his living through the auto body shop he and LaDonna owned, he also competed on the NASCAR circuit, with Mo often appearing at his side for racing events.
So this motherfucker is Dale Earnhardt. And he's got a monkey. Dale Earnhardt with a monkey, Colonel.
I think that's what made him crash.
Cheese burrito.
Yeah.
Fucking monkey.
I wonder if he was in his bikini while he looked while he was at
the I don't know. Maybe he laid out on the top of his
for sure.
Hood, like a white snake or whatever. Continue, Brandy.
He did a tawny contain across a couple of cars.
As the Davises' feelings for Mo deepened, wait a minute, hold on. The Davises' feelings for Mo deepened as his behavior became more complex, like a parallelogram.
Mm-hmm. Like a what?
Like a parallelogram.
That's the secret word. Thank you.
Ding, ding.
Stephen Potts.
I got it in there. According to biologists, chimpanzees are humankind's closest genetic relatives on Earth, Chuck.
Yeah.
The subtlety of Mo's expressions and emotions could be uncanny. Okay, well, hold on, because evidently there are episodes. There was this.
The bell's ringing.
I'll be right back.
Continue, Brandy, while he goes pleasures himself.
Yes. There was this one time with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So Mo.
I'm calling bullshit on this whole thing here. I can buy into a lot of this, but I'm calling bullshit.
Well, hold on.
Let her tell a story, and then you can express your concern.
Love this. Hold on. So Mo is obsessed with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and cheese burritos and coffee.
Okay.
So first of all, if you don't want him running around like a chicken with his head cut off, don't give the motherfucker coffee. You know that wires him up. He's probably literally swinging from the rafters. Literally.
You know, I do not like when you buy those jars of peanut butter and jelly together.
There's a certain ratio of peanut butter and jelly, and they make it 50-50.
Cooper grapes.
It's really like 65-35, wouldn't you say, Timmy?
I would. And you know, you take a risk when you eat peanut butter, you're taking a risk of constipation, Brandy. And if you're gonna take that risk, why not just eat all peanut butter or all jelly? You know?
Well,
eat jelly so you don't get constipation. But if you eat peanut butter and if you're gonna eat peanut butter, you're gonna get constipation, so you might as well eat 100%.
I don't understand why you just can't spit this shit out. I don't know what you're even yammering about at this point. Because this fucking monkey is making a peanut butter and goddamn sandwich. Peanut butter fucking jelly sandwich. He's standing on a chair.
Uh-huh.
He's making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He stands on a kitchen chair, and he'd always make one for himself and one for St. James.
Well, that's considerate of him, Brandy.
He was a considerate monkey. Yeah. So, occasionally he'd get drunk and piss on you, but he was a considerate monkey.
Only when he was drunk.
And he was a fucking smart monkey, because listen to this shit. One day when he was 9, there wasn't enough peanut butter for a second sandwich. So Mo tried to cover it up by overloading St. James's bread with jelly.
That motherfucker.
Well, but
what kind of shit? What kind of monkey business is that?
That's bullshit there.
But St. James,
I slave you from slaughter from poachers in Tanzania. Yeah. Bring you here and raise you, and then the motherfucker, you gonna shortchange me on peanut butter?
Yeah, well,
let me tell you, Brandy. It's outrageous.
St. James reached for Moe's sandwich, and that went to a fucking lather.
he didn't like that, Brandy.
No. Stomped his feet and made gagging noises. He stormed out of the kitchen, found LaDonna in her bedroom, and dragged her into the kitchen. Indignant, he pointed at the sandwich and pointed at St. James.
Motherfucker.
That motherfucker there. That's what that
motherfucker took my peanut butter sandwich. All right, continue.
So finally, St. James offered Mo the good sandwich. Mm-hmm. And the chimp basically gave him the finger. The chimp shook his head and refused to eat it. Like, fuck you, dick. I don't even want your shit now.
So, Colonel, you question the accuracy of this story. Wait a minute.
You know, I raised 3 boys. I couldn't get those motherfuckers to make a sandwich for themselves. They graduated from college with honors. Motherfuckers could not make a peanut butter sandwich. You're telling me a chimpanzee can make a peanut butter sandwich?
Wait a minute. What you're missing is this. This is the part. Let me bring this down for you. This is a fucking monkey.
Yeah.
Bugs out of a tree, and all of a sudden he's too good to eat a fucking sandwich.
With too much jelly. The peanut butter jelly ratio was not satisfactory to Mo.
And then when he gets offered the good sandwich, he's like,
motherfucker. You go ahead. You know what?
Here's what I like about it is St. James thinks he can fucking pull the wool over fucking Moe's eyes by switching sandwiches on it.
Yeah. Nope. Doesn't want that shit. As he matured, Moe began to understand no and yes. He knew that shaking one's head up and down meant okay, and side to side meant disapproval. Eventually, he developed his own form of sign language. He'd cross his arms over his chest and tap his shoulders to signal he wanted a hug. He'd motion as if he were turning his steering wheel back and forth when he wanted to go for a ride. Whatever.
I do that. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, Moe's playfulness continued through his teens and 20s. Jesus fucking Christ. Moe had his own bedroom at the Davies 3-bedroom home, but on
occasion... Was his bedroom shaped like a parallelogram?
Well, I already did that, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he wasn't paying attention. I know. Thank you. That was the secret word. Thank you, Stephen Potts.
But I think you used it in the wrong context. I was trying to get us straight, that devil.
No. Let's see. He had his own bedroom, but he occasionally wanted to sleep outside in a tent, like most little boys.
That's fair.
One night in 1984, the 18-year-old chimp methodically prepared his bed of multicolored blankets inside his tent in the backyard before bounding into the kitchen to give LaDonna a good kiss.
Didn't Dolly Parton make a song about a multicolored monkey blanket or something?
Yeah, the monkey blanket of many colors. Yeah.
Blanket of many colors. Yes. Let's see. She handed him a flashlight and a cup of hot chocolate. Holding one in each hand, Moe carefully walked back into his cage and sat down.
Wow. So he was well behaved.
Well, for now. Moe grabbed one of the blankets, draped it over his head, and began flickering the light on and off, on and off. LaDonna could hear her primate son, Jesus fuck, noises as she headed for her bedroom, flicking the lights on and off, on and off. LaDonna could hear her boy making laughing noises as she headed for her room.
Oh, that's cute, Brandy. You gotta admit, he's an adorable monkey.
He's a cute little bastard.
Yeah. Moe. You have to admit that, Brandy.
By this point, of course, Moe looked nothing like the baby monkey who had held hands with the flower girl at their wedding. A rascal straight out of Curious George. He stood 4 feet tall, weighed roughly 130 pounds, and was covered in deep black fur.
Yeah, so he's full grown at this point.
Over the years, St. James, being the fucking scholar that he is, had gone to the library and studied chimpanzee behavior. He had learned what foods they eat and what their habits were. Okay, dumb motherfucker, let me tell you something.
Burrito, I'm guessing, is not in the literature.
Yeah, they don't give those out in the fucking jungle, you dipshit. You're raised in the goddamn city. What the fuck are you thinking you're going to learn? Idiot. Oh, my God. So he went to the library, and he learned what foods they eat, what their habits were. Duh, duh, duh. He also read that no matter how docile they were when young, chimpanzees could turn aggressive as they grew older, like men.
You got to be careful there, Brandy, with your chimpanzee and men.
Mm-hmm. The Davis say they never saw aggressive behavior from Moe, even as he began to age. And it's true that Moe never harmed the couple. However, there were some warning signs. You think?
Uh-oh.
Wouldn't the worst warning sign be like a wild animal in your fucking house?
Well, I think the original warning sign is when he pissed on somebody. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The original warning sign is him covering that guy with fucking scabs and shit and sores.
Well, no, I think the big warning sign was when he said "fuck you" on the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I'm getting a sense that this is taking a turn for the worse here.
Well,
continue, Brandy.
The unraveling of the Davis's near perfect life began on a hot day in August of 1998. Moe was about 30 then, with broad shoulders, thick arms, and long fangs. Well. A welder who was repairing Moe's cage accidentally
swipe right on Tinder for that motherfucker.
The welder accidentally left a piece of equipment turned on and gave the chimp an electrical shock so intensely that he
got tased. Well, that would piss you off, Colonel.
That would fuck you up bad.
Tase the monkey, Brandy.
Shock the monkey.
Exactly. So they shock the monkey. The monkey runs out of the house and come back.
Well, I don't fucking blame him.
Yeah. Me either.
So,
I mean, that really doesn't have anything to do with him being a monkey, Colonel.
No. I mean, one time one of the boys threw a hairdryer in the bathtub when I was in there. I stayed away for 3 days.
That was a coma. Torn away. That was a coma. Let's see. Okay, so he got the shock. He runs out. He didn't return. The police are called. They closed the street because this is a fucking normal thing. By the time the standoff ended, Mo had dented a police car, injured an officer's hand, and scratched an animal control agent.
You know, Colonel, you don't want to injure an officer because, you know,
the right. Yeah. That's
the 5-0 will be out.
That's at least an F3, Timmy.
Definitely. Definitely.
A year later,
Brandy.
A year later, on September 2nd, 1999, a visitor came to meet Mo. The woman was told not to put her hand in his cage, but she did anyway. Well, then
hold on. The woman was told. This is how so many stories start. The woman was told not to, but did it anyway. And something bad happened.
Bit the tip of her finger.
Ow.
Afterwards, the Davies argued that Mo mistook her long, red-painted fingernails for his favorite candy, licorice.
Oh, I'm calling bullshit on that excuse.
No, keep your hand out the cage.
Well, here we go. To the city, why Mo bit the woman didn't matter. Now a mature ape with people sick of his shit and packing the upper body strength of 4 or 5 grown men, Mo was too dangerous to remain in the Davies' home. Officials had decided that. They didn't fucking decide it because they're goddamn crazy. A team of officers arrived at about 2 p.m. the following day. Police cars swarmed the street, trailed by ambulances and fire trucks. Officers,
man, they go all out when an officer gets hurt.
Yeah. Cordoned off the street.
Man down.
Mo was inside his cage when two cops arrived at the front door and St. James confronted them. You'll never take me, coppers. A fiery argument broke out.
He was in the cage, though, right?
No. The fiery
argument. Not St. James. Mo was, but not St. James.
Let's see. So St. James is wrestled out of his home while cops and animal control officers, some armed with dart guns, swarmed inside. Mo screamed, as one dart, then a second, pierced his stomach.
Oh,
his shrieking turned into gagging noises as he furiously banged on his cage with his hands and feet.
Oh, that's not cool.
St. James was on his knees on the front lawn, bawling, because he's fucking crazy. And conscious and bleeding from the stomach, was carried out of the house and tossed into a horse trailer.
They're carrying Mo out of
the tossed into the horse trailer, Brandy.
Jesus fucking Christ.
They could have put
What about civil liberties in this country?
I know. God damn.
Oh, my God. These people.
We need to start making Monkey 2 t-shirts, Timmy.
No. Let me tell you something.
Okay. Continue.
No, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
This is those people or that person, you know, at work that's fucking crazy and everybody just lets them get away with everything because she's fucking crazy and, you know, whatever, just fucking crazy. And then all of a sudden she becomes fucking dangerous crazy and everybody's like all of a sudden, oh, no, we have to stop her. Well, it's too motherfucking late.
Brandy, you realize you're that person.
You realize, yeah, I was going to say, you're talking about yourself. You're projecting that, devil.
First of all, both you sons of bitches know I am not that person at our work. So just simmer the fuck down with that shit.
You haven't been in the other meetings we've been in, devil. But go ahead.
Okay. So, of course, these fucking idiots, there's court battles and lawsuits. But in the end, the authorities decided that Mo could no longer live in the Davies home. The couple were heartbroken. Oh, here we go. Okay. Jesus fucking Christ. The couple were heartbroken and felt the court was trying to destroy their marriage by taking their monkey.
Well, it's like a child to them, Brandy.
I feel like you're not on stable ground if all of that, if your marriage can be destroyed when the monkey leaves. But
really,
as legalities began to mount, the couple had no choice but to relinquish custody of their only son, who was a monkey. Was taken
burrito,
to
cheese burrito eating monkey.
Right. coffee sipping, cigarette smoking, cheese burrito eating fucking monkey.
Yeah.
Bo was taken to the wildlife way station in the foothills of the Angels National Forest, a 160-acre refuge for exotic animals. A few weeks after Mo was taken into custody, a woman from the way station called to ask St. James a brutal question. Have any arrangements been made for when the chimp dies? Since he had arrived and wasn't expected to live much longer.
Oh, well, I like to, you know, they're putting him out there like he's a wild animal, Brandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, imagine that. The Davies.
Okay, so that gave him a heads up that things were not going well for Mo in his new environment.
Right. The Davies rushed to the facility with a vet in tow because I'm sure those fucking people there didn't have a fucking vet. Let's get the monkey pediatrician. They found Mo splayed on the floor of his tiny cage, covered in his own stool. Sounds like Chuck.
We found Chuck in his office.
Yeah, that's right. A rough Friday night.
Splayed
right
out
there.
In his own stool. Yeah. So.
His eyes were vacant and he was too weak to acknowledge them. The vet injected him with a drug that perked Mo up immediately, which I can only assume was meth. Court battles ensued again. Oh, no. And Allred. Fucking Gloria Allred.
Yeah.
A high-profile civil rights attorney took the Davis' case pro bono.
Well, that's nice of her. I mean, you know. She took a boner there.
She got the pro boner.
Yeah.
The couple filed a due process suit.
Which is a lot better than an amateur boner. I just pointed out.
Well, yeah. They filed a due process suit against the city. For whose due process? The monkey.
Well, that's their property. They can't take their property away without giving them due process.
They can't. Look. You can't keep a fucking active tank on your goddamn property.
Okay, you are being closed-minded, Brandy.
Evidently, yes. That's where I'm at right now. I'm fucking hungry. I want a cheese burrito. That's all I would give my left tit for a peanut butter sandwich right now.
And you wouldn't pee on anyone's dress.
I would not at first. All right, so... So they're fending off criminal charges for harboring a wild... after a lot of legal wrangling with Gloria fucking Allred, he's still came up on the losing end. St. James and LaDonna visited Mo every week, all the while clinging to the hope that they would someday be reunited. No. The visits sustained them, though they were also heartbreaking. Mo started doing better after the couple installed a new cage complete with a TV 3 months after
he arrived. I wonder if he got cable or DirecTV.
I don't know. He's missing Jeopardy, evidently.
BG number. But anyway.
Who were not permitted to come close enough to touch him during their 15-minute visits. It's like prison.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but they should be able to hug him and things. He needs that, you know, for his own well-being.
See the pain in Mo's eyes, and he'd signal that he wanted a hug. He put his hands up and turned an imaginary steering wheel. He wanted to go home.
Oh, poor Mo.
Oh, poor monkey.
Well, you know what? They did a disservice to fucking Mo because they've treated him like a person. And, you know, he should have been treated like a monkey if you want to take him to the wildlife. But now he can't fend for himself because he's missing Judge Judy at 4:00. Get a fucking banana.
I don't know. What's your problem with the monkey here, Devil?
Yeah, you seem a little bit upset. You seem to be taking out on Mo.
Goddamn monkey. My problem.
Whatever your issues are, you seem to be projecting your hostility on
Have you had negative interactions with monkeys before?
Look, my problem is with these two fucking idiots that want to find a wild animal and go, oh, and it is my baby, and we will take him, and we will love him, and we will hug him forever.
Well, I mean, to be fair, St. James saved this monkey when he was, you know, he was being, you know, he was just, he probably would have died if it wasn't for
you know
St.
what,
James.
And that's fine. Nope, I get that. That's fine. Then give the fucking monkey to Jane Goodall because she actually knows what the fuck she's doing. Meanwhile, they're taking this goddamn.
You have very strong opinions about this monkey, Brandy.
No, I have strong opinions about these idiot people.
So after continue.
Negotiations in 2004, the couple succeeded in getting Mo transferred to Animal Haven Ranch,
a private sanctuary near Bakersfield where they could visit him without restriction.
Cool.
The sanctuary, tucked in the rolling hills just a few miles south of Lake Isabella, was a home for exotic animals dumped mostly from zoos and circuses.
Okay, so I'm happy about this. Things are looking up for St. James, LaDonna, and Mo. Continue, yeah. Brandon.
Its owners, Virginia and Ralph Brower, had seven primates in all, but everyone agreed Mo, now 38, approaching elderly for a chimp, his flat brown face rimmed with gray, would remain alone in a specially built cage during his first few years there because he can't interact with other fucking monkeys. The arrangement was a dream compared with the wildlife way station. The Davises made the 2.5-hour trip every week, delivering new toys for Mo because, yeah, that's helping him out. That's helping him integrate.
I wonder if they got me my PlayStation.
Well, probably. And food for the other primates as part of the arrangement.
Oh, that's
they
nice.
They brought cheese burritos. You can't just bring one.
They brought enough to share.
They brought a Taco Bell box. They arrived early and spent all day with their boy, playing with him inside his cage. On March 3rd, 2005, St. James and LaDonna drove to the sanctuary to celebrate Mo's 39th birthday. Or as Mo knows it, you know, Thursday. Fucking birthday. They left home early around 7 a.m. in a car filled with toys, presents, balloons, and a white frosted sheet cake with raspberry filling.
You know, those are good. Those are tasty, Colonel, the raspberry filling.
Oh, they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Three of them right now.
After arriving at Animal Haven about 10 a.m., St. James hopped out of the car and headed straight for Mo with a carton of chocolate milk in his hand. Mo was going batshit crazy, clapping his hands and hooting happily.
Aww.
Donna set the cake down on a picnic table, cut two slices, and handed them to St. James. St. James handed one to Mo through the bars of his cage, and the animal's eyes went wide as he devoured his piece. LaDonna savored the moment because she's a fucking lunatic. The family had been through the family so much the last 6 years. Mo was finally at a place where he seemed content and where the couple could spend as much time with him as they wanted. If they couldn't ever live together again, because you can't, this seemed like the next best thing.
Well, it is the next best thing, I guess.
St. James and Mo were kissing each other.
Yeah.
The moment was beautiful, almost perfect. Then out of the corner of her eye, LaDonna suddenly noticed a large form about 40 feet away.
Uh-oh.
It was a chimpanzee, a young adult male, somehow out of his cage, and he was glaring at her.
It's not good.
The chimp held her gaze for a moment and then charged. St. James rushed to his wife. The animal barreled into LaDonna's back, knocking her into St. James. She wrapped her arms around her husband's neck, but the chimpanzee locked his jaws around the thumb of her left hand. With a single ferocious jerk of his neck, he tore it off.
He tore off her thumb.
Yes. Oh.
Never be able to...
To hitchhike.
Hitchhike again.
Yeah, there ain't no... You know,
coming back from that.
Ain't no coming back. Once you lose that thumb, I wonder if she used a right hand on St. James.
I don't know, but they're in the middle of this terrible attack. Tell us what happens next there, Colonel.
Well, St. James threw his hysterical wife under a picnic table, Timmy, and pushed her further underneath as the chimp tried to pursue her.
I think we had a horny chimp there.
LaDonna was screaming commands.
Because if this understands one, yeah, command.
No, idiot. Stop, sit, in a desperate bid to stop him. But
yeah,
the remaining cake was still on the table in its box, but the chimp didn't go for it. Instead, it decided he was going to eat St. James. So now St. James is confronting this chimp. You got a 6'2 former running back.
The chimp or St. James?
the St. James. But okay. Now, Timmy, it ain't even a fair fight because you got a second chimp showing up.
Two chimps now, Brandon.
This one older and
joining
bigger.
The fray.
They're jumping him, Timmy.
It's like the fight at the end of Footloose. Go ahead.
Well, with both hands, he pushed the big animal, and both chimps pounce, Timmy. One of the animals grabbed him in a bear hug before chomping into the bone above his right eye. Oh, that shit right there.
Ooh, above his eye, Brandy.
Then, in a classic evil move, Timmy, this is what they do to all... Yeah, he stuck his finger into St. James' right eye, gouging it out.
Ugh.
Then he clamped it onto his nose and bit his nose off his right off his goddamn face, Timmy.
Oh, my God.
I actually seen one time somebody bit the tip of somebody's nose off, Timmy. Mm. It was in a jail cell in Newport, Kentucky, Timmy.
This is an amazing fucking story. Can we get through this goddamn monkey attack?
Now, yeah, the other chimp
attacked today.
The other chimp chewed away at St. James' fingers. Now, in the melee, one of the chimps dug his claws and ripped the skin right off the side of St. James' face, causing it to flop over like that two-faced guy on Batman, cover up his left eye. Now he's temporarily.
Like now he could get a face transplant, but back then,
no.
And have you seen the picture of this guy after he was?
Yeah, pretty mild.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. Yeah, go ahead, Colonel.
So one of the primates bit his skull. They bit his mouth, ripped off his lips, Timmy.
See now, Brandy, you're not going to get laid if someone if you don't have any lips.
You ain't going to be at the kissing booth no more.
Yeah, too much to speak to.
Yeah. If you get your face ripped off, it tends to drive the women away, Brandy.
So,
would you date someone, Brandy,
tried to put one hand off?
Wait a minute, guys. This story gets so much fucking better. Go ahead.
St. James puts his hand down one of the monkey's throats. But the chimp just kept chewing on it and chewing on it and chewing on it. Now he can't get his hand out of the throat. St. James finally falls to the ground, helpless, no longer able to defend himself. The mauling continued as he lay helpless, Timmy. And here's where it takes an ugly turn, Timmy. One of the chimps gnawed on his buttocks and bit off his genitals.
Oh, you know you're not getting laid after you got the genitals.
It don't. Well, you know, once you lost the left thumb, you weren't getting that much action anyway. But now they just bit off the genitals, Timmy.
Well, and you're not. You know, you don't want to minimize him being a bit gnawed on the buttocks, Colonel, because that's dramatic in itself.
You know, but it does take some of the sting away from losing your lips. Because now you're only worried about the genitals, Timmy.
Fuck my eye. It's been gouged out. I've exactly. lost my pecker.
Motherfucker. My dick off.
Like zombie
gnawed
monkeys.
Off my pecker.
These motherfuckers should come with a warning label. These chimpanzees, warning, may bite your dick off.
You know, I realized this was nothing. You know, I realized that Mo had nothing to do with this, but I'm killing that motherfucker after this.
Oh, yeah. Now, not content to do that, they started chewing on his left foot, leaving it shredded. Now,
this is like the Planet of the Apes, Brandy.
They did everything but sell this motherfucker what is that? Did they sell you into like slavery and bondage?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, this guy's, if you ever see, I mean, you can Google this guy's photo. I mean, his whole face is gone, basically.
Well, so now he's pretty much.
His buttocks has been gnawed on. His genitals have been bitten off. His eyes have been
bit me on. He bit me on the buttocks, Jenny. Madonna screams drew the owner's son-in-law, Mark, who came running. Now, listen to this, Timmy. He got a 45 caliber revolver.
That's a brave motherfucker right
now. Now, he's trying to get a clean shot. He opens fire on the young primate.
Get a clean shot.
Yeah. The shot had no apparent effect on the monkey, Timmy. So he raced back to his house to reload with more powerful ammunition. When he returned, he focused on the old male. Kneeling down, he shot him once in the head from close range, and the animal fell to the ground. Some bitch had to
meanwhile,
come and bite a man's dick off.
James is getting his genitals.
Well, they still got the younger chip. He's dragging St. James down the hill, leading away from OSG.
I'd be saying thank you for shooting, chimp, but you know, kind of get a 20 on my genitals.
Somebody look around in the dirt. No, those are my lips. Just leave them. Don't worry. Put my dick on ice. I ain't worried about my lips, goddammit.
Exactly.
No, leave my eye. I put a patch over my eye. I need that dick back. Get that dick.
Is this one of those things you put in milk when you transport it?
I think
exactly,
so.
Yes.
Let alone Chip. He's dragging him down the hill. He's tearing into his limp body until Carruthers catches up to him and shot him once in the chest. Now, St. James, lying face down, felt the lifeless animal fall onto his back.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I guess he's trying to hump him after. I don't know what he's doing there. They did everything else to the poor son of bitches. Yeah, 400 pounds. Now, an investigation later found that the chips had escaped from their cage after one of the sanctuary's owners failed to lock one of his doors.
That was an extensive investigation, I can tell.
Yeah. Animal behaviorists suggested the chimps...
I'm pretty sure when he was gnawing on St. James's genitals, he could have concluded that the chimp escaped from the cage.
This is ugly to me.
Thank you, Rosanna, for this lovely story.
See, it's all funny games till somebody gets the dick bit off.
Yeah, till someone starts gnawing on your genitals, Brandy.
Now, despite the ferocity of this attack, when the paramedics arrived, St. James was still conscious.
Hell yeah, he was looking for his penis.
Yeah, his face and body were mutilated.
Passing out, so I got that fucking penis on ice.
Well, his mouth, lips, nose, and pecker had been, there were only bloody holes, Timmy. Where his right eye had been, there was a pit. And where his fingers had been, there were only stubs of gaps, Timmy. Stubs of gaps.
You know the girls would be swiping right on him on Tinder, Brandy.
Well, so St. James has all kinds of surgery and physical therapy. And he's still, after all this, he's... Yeah. Depending on LaDonna, he can't.
What happened to his genitals? What happened to his pecker?
He never got them back, Timmy. Never found them.
Fucking monkey.
But more than that, he lost more than that in this, Timmy. More than that.
What else?
Well, first of all, he can't bathe himself.
Right.
He can't go to the bathroom by himself. Right. And this woman ain't got no thumb, so she's just, you're getting your ass whipped by somebody with no,
I thought she got a pretty raw deal, but you know, yeah. In the big scheme of things.
Yeah, she just lost her thumb.
Yeah.
But after all this, Timmy, more tragedy was going to be.
I mean, Brandy, she'd have a hard time playing, you know, Xbox, but I mean, other than that. She still has her genitals.
Well, that's true.
Continue, Colonel. I'm sorry.
Well, Timmy, after all this, there's more tragedy.
More?
The phone call comes in about 11 o'clock. LaDonna answers. On the other end of the line was Tammy Maples, owner of Jungle Exotics, a business that houses animals and rents them to the entertainment industry.
Okay.
Mo had been transferred there.
Okay.
To the 60-acre sanctuary in the mountains 8 months
ago. So he couldn't stay at the other place.
He could not. No, apparently not.
Now because just, apparently they have a hard time keeping their monkeys in the cage.
Yeah. Well, just 2 days before, the couple had made the 45-minute drive to see that boy, a weekly ritual that, despite everything, they resumed in 2007 when St. James was finally able to come out of the hospital.
Set up.
But he looks a little bit different now.
But yeah, Mo didn't recognize him. St. James is like, you motherfucker, every other monkey got out of that cage. You just watched me take an ass with him. Watch him bite my dick off, and you didn't even come out of your cage.
Well, and to be fair, it was his birthday, and he had cake.
True. Mo's like, what are you doing over there, Dad?
You got to give St. James credit. He knows how to throw a party, Brandy. I mean, the two weddings, birthday.
And you know what? You know, Mo's looking at him thinking, you got something on your, you got a little thing. Okay. Yeah, just forget it.
You know, family, Timmy, I'll tell you this. Mm-hmm. My family, because they're primarily Irish, mm-hmm. and they like to drink a lot.
Yeah.
They like to occasionally get in a scuffle. Mm-hmm. We have had some wild parties, but ain't nobody ever lost a dick at a birthday party.
You know it was a wild party when you lose a genital.
When you lose a dick at a birthday party, it's a wild one. That's a party you talk about forever.
Mm-hmm. But you also have not had a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. You will lose your dick at Chuck E. Cheese. I guarantee goddamn it.
But, you know, my point about St. James is he has the first wedding. He doesn't show up. Everyone is talking about it, right? He has the second wedding. The monkey's his best man. He pees on a woman's, gets drunk, pees on a woman's dress. Everyone's talking about that forever. And then Mo's birthday, they go there, and he gets his genitals bit off. Everyone's talking about that. I really think he's fucking attention-seeking, Brandy.
He is.
St. James is attention-seeking.
He missed his calling as a party planner.
Well, yes. Let me tell you how this plays out now, Timmy.
Okay.
They had just been there. They get to Mo's cage. They have brought a hairbrush, a computer keyboard, because, you know, Mo likes to get on Instagram or whatever. They discuss and their plans, Brandy, for the aging chimp.
Because, St. James no longer needs the hairbrush. But go ahead.
Right. Now, get this. They brought some condoms, too, because he don't need those. But anyway, cheaper. Here, Mo, you need my Viagra? Here you go, buddy, because they ain't doing nothing for me. They were going to install some solar panels so this motherfucker could watch TV. And so they can set up a camera and interact with him every day.
Oh, that's not Brandy. Mo on Skype, basically.
Now, this was just a visit from 2 days before. But now the lady's on the phone and she says, I just want to let you know, I went by Mo's facility and he's not in it. Uh-oh. Motherfucker, can't you shut a goddamn cage somewhere?
Mo is gone, Brandy.
What the couple sped to the ranch.
This is a very this caused great concern.
And well, a frantic search began. They mm-hmm. searched. Bloodhounds were brought in. Helicopters mm-hmm. were brought in. Mm-hmm. The media got involved. It drew national attention.
Where's Gloria Allred?
No trace of Mo was found, Timmy.
Oh, officially
called off in 2009, and now nearly a decade later, St. James, of course, permanently disfigured and disabled, and his wife, Madonna, refused to sell the house, and they hoped that their prodigal son, Timmy, Mo, will someday return, and maybe we could get our friend, one of our friends, to do, we have podcasts on missing people, right? We could have somebody look for a missing chimp. Mo.
So first Mo all, was never found.
No.
Mo said, fuck this.
There's some shady shit here because you skipped a whole paragraph.
Go ahead, Brandy.
Go to the ranch. They go to the ranch. They're met by. Shut up. I'm done. Nope. Listen. They told them they're met there by Joe Camp, who was Maple's partner. They told him Mo had somehow broken off 6 steel welds from the cage.
Yeah.
And that allowed him to open a sliding door and escape.
That doesn't sound realistic.
Hold on. But by the time that St. James and LaDonna saw the enclosure, it had been repaired and cleaned. The cage was spotless. There were no blankets. There were none of Mo. There was none of Mo's stool.
No stool. Colonel.
It was as if he'd never been there.
Now, see, if you go in the colonel's office and he's not there, at least his stool would be
gone. I'm gonna leave my stool there. Yeah.
So yeah. So there's some shady shit
going on. Yeah, and there was an investigation, as you said, Colonel. No wrongdoing was found by this camp. Or by this facility, but there's been speculation that perhaps Mo had accidentally died in their custody, and they were trying to cover it up. But it's never been proven or anything like that. And St. James and LaDonna, they lost their son. You know, and he disappeared, and
because they're fucking crazy.
Well, I mean, be that as it may, they felt, to them, this was their son, and he disappeared without a trace, and he is not, they don't put Mo on any milk cartons, Colonel.
No, I ain't seen Mo on a milk carton.
How do you dispose of a chimpanzee body? I feel like that is something people would notice.
Yeah, they would. Well, it's a real tragedy, Brandy, and... we're sorry that Mo. We hope that we still have hope that Mo one day will return to St. James and LaDonna, and hopefully bring a penis for St. James, because obviously he's without one.
That's exactly right, Timmy.
Oh. Yeah, it's Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Mo the monkey?
Here's the thing. So I get there. I mean, I completely understand, people have pets and that's their babies and that's it. But this is one of those things where it's just ignorance. Like, these people are nuts. You take the, I get you bring the monkey, you've nursed it, you've done whatever, you show up you're with your mother picking you up at LAX covered in scabs and whatever else with a fucking monkey.
Right.
So, okay, fine. Fine.
Okay.
But, you know,
you're okay at this point.
Take care of it. Give it to someone who can take care of it. These people were crazy, nuttier than squirrel shit. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you seem to be judgmental here, Brandy. You seem to be judging them pretty harshly. Colonel, what's your final thoughts on...
Do you know how I can judge them? I don't have a monkey.
I just think you should come with a warning label. Warning, monkey may bite off your dick.
I feel like they do.
But you know, here's the thing. He went,
he went to the library.
There was some negligence on this camp,
absolutely.
Who let open that these monkeys free when there were other people there. You know, they have an obligation to keep the monkeys in the cage.
Right.
Well, they all do. We all have an obligation to keep the monkeys in the cage.
Yeah,
I agree. But I think it's sad because I think to St. James and to LaDonna, this was their son, and they raised him as a son. And first of all, the courts would not allow them to stay united as a family. They took their son away. And then the people who were responsible for caring for their son lost him somehow, or he died, or something happened to him. And also, LaDonna lost her thumb, and St. James lost his penis.
He lost everything.
And his face. So it's a tragic cautionary tale, Colonel.
It is a cautionary tale, Timmy. Now, you know what we got to do now, though?
What?
We got to thank all our Patreon sponsors, Timmy.
Yes, we do, because we really appreciate your support. And if you would like to support us on Patreon and keep getting quality shows like Mo the Monkey, then please go to patreon.com/historytweets where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Just a wee little bit to me.
Yeah, just like the tip. Just like
just the tip.
LaDonna's
just the tip of it.
Thumb. Yes. So, Colonel, would you like to give the shout-outs to our wonderful Patreon
supporters? I would like to give the shout-outs to our Patreon supporters. Let's start with Jim Seabright, Andrew Scammell, Tommy Lane, Jason
Aloha.
Dice, Malachi, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savoda, Purr, Westman, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom, Erica Kinney, High Road, A Comeback Podcast, LK Barr, Reen, Marissa Albanese, Bridget Clay.
Love you, Bridget. We miss you.
Philip Munson, Phyllis Munson, Jennifer Riker Smith, Stephen Potts, Potsy.
The winner of the Secret Word Contest.
Anna Garrett, Ben Dobrovich, Ursula, Clark and Diane, Beth Ann Waller, Michelle Johns, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Leanne Flanagan, Julia Rodriguez, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Tyrone, Marsha Boris, Stacey Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Amberson, They Walk Among Us, Laura Violet, Michael Dale, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, Callie Jones, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Pleasing Tears, Mike Brown, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois. Let me take a breath here, Timmy.
Okay, take a breath, Colonel.
Kimberly Cameron, Elise Edrichin, History Goes Bump, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Lara Lopes, Alicia and Chip, Makia Smith, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, Maja, Shelley Garrett, Carol Elise, Christian Malikinski, Adam McWaters, The Ransom Reason Podcast, Paula Kimes, Vanished Podcast, maybe they could find Mo, Canadian maybe. True Crime, Charlie from Insight, Angela Santos, Lydia Fisher, Kim Stroop, Nicole Adams, Ron Monastero, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Cheryl Weldon, Veronica Moreno, Chris Lane, Alexander, Elaine Baker, Vivian Baca, Mark and Chi, Amanda Lupus, Shannon Arnold, Kimberly Smith, West Side of there, Robin Sherrod, Ruth Whitfield, Cassie Kitchens, Nick Johnson, Natasha Burgess, Julie Bentley, Patty Schmidt, our lovely, lovely lady Beverly, Rudy, the world's most dangerous canine, and the woman we do this show for, Dottie Scott, with three T's on there, Timmy.
How you doing, Dottie? I misspelled her name.
You did.
Randy, any final thoughts for our listeners about monkeys?
I don't keep monkeys as pets.
Okay, that's good advice. Colonel, you have any final thoughts on monkeys? Any cautionary words of wisdom?
It's all fun and games till you lose your dick, Timmy.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you all next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thank you. Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.